Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Really, I got to a point where, and I remember the first time I saw Jason Kidd's name pop up was Frank Isola on social media mentioned it, whatever it was, when Tibbs immediately after he got fired. What was it, Tuesday? Last Tuesday?
Oh, God.
Has it been a week?
Sounds
Has
about
it been more
right.
than 2 weeks? Anyway, so whenever that happened, Jason Kidd was the first name. And then there were reasons for why people were saying that. And then the name started to come out a little bit more. And I thought that that was going to be the thing. I felt like the Knicks probably back-channeled their way into conversations with Kidd,
yeah.
gauging the interest, which would make sense. If they didn't do that, then they're even more foolish than we think.
Mm-hmm.
But now the latest report saying that they were denied permission from the Mavs. It doesn't mean, however, that it's over. Who the hell wrote it? Steve Popper, maybe, who covers the Knicks. I saw him do something on social media. Somebody I follow retweeted that,
mm-hmm.
saying that his sources are telling him that it doesn't mean it's the end of the road for Jason Kidd with the Knicks. So I still would not definitively say, let me read you the exact thing that Steve Popper, he covers the Knicks from Newsday. He was talking about Mark Stein, who covers the Mavericks, who knows the Mavericks as well as anybody. Popper says, Stein knows the Mavs better than anyone. Interestingly, I've heard that despite this roadblock, some in the Knicks organization believe the first no is not the end of the pursuit of Jason Kidd.
Okay, so who's the most powerful, influential NBA reporter of all time? Woj?
Yeah, Woj.
Woj could pop in a Woj bomb right now and say that there's still a chance that Jason Kidd does wind up coaching the Knicks, to your point.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't bother me about the direction of the Knicks. That's not even the point right now.
Right, it wouldn't change.
No, because it just talks to the very disjointed and scattered mess of a plan that they have. And I put quotes around the word plan because I don't think that they have one. I think that it was just a reactive, emotional response to player exit interviews, a disappointing finish when you had home court advantage and were favored to win and go to the finals. And I think ownership, James Dolan took over. And that's his right. It's his team. So I think Leon Rose's fingerprints are not nearly on this, as maybe as much as some. Same with World Wide West. I think this is, if not all, mostly Dolan. And I think right now the Knicks are looking around saying, all right, well, listen, I mean, here we are. What's the plan? And there seems to be nine of them.
BT, it's Al on the Fan. Adam is calling from South Jersey. What's up, Adam?
What's up, guys? I'm much calmer today, much clearer headed in thinking, without yelling and screaming. BT, it's kind of funny. You were off the next day after I called and I had a stroke on these airwaves.
Okay.
And I was so upset about what I was hearing about the exit meetings, I even used the Sal crying voice. Yeah.
Just don't use the whisper voice with the Knicks.
No. And Sal got mad at me for stealing his material. But look, I've been thinking about this hard, right? And I was right when I said that initial day. This was a knee-jerk reaction to exit meetings and everything else and people crying. And they didn't have a plan, and that's obvious now. But I actually think that there is something nobody's talking about that can help solve their PR nightmare. Make no mistake, guys, this is now a PR nightmare as well as a coaching search.
Agreed.
They have to fix, they don't just have to fix getting a coach. They have to fix keeping the fan base from all getting on the Brooklyn Bridge and jumping off.
They don't care about that, though, Adam. Why would they care? The Knicks clearly don't care about PR. I feel like they never have. They don't talk to anybody. Nobody talks. The Garden sells out every night anyway. Then it could be bad for 25 years. People going to the building. Yeah, the ticket prices are ridiculous. People still go.
Sal, I agree, but this is different. I think the solution might be under their nose, and it's something nobody's talked about. And he's in the building. He's been on NBA coaching staffs. He was a college head coach. And like Tibbs, he would probably sell his soul to get the opportunity, even if he's the 18th choice. What is wrong with sniffing at Patrick Ewing, who's already in your building?
Oh, God, stop. Oh, come on, Adam. What are we doing? Patrick Ewing was awful at Georgetown as a coach. He was terrible. I know we won the Big East tournament that one year, and I was happy for him, but that wasn't, it's not like they were 30-9, and I mean, they backdoored it. Like, nobody saw them. The Hoyas were terrible under Pat.
I love Patrick Ewing.
Me too.
Come on. Come on now. Get real.
I mean, if we're bringing back ex-Knicks, bring back Mark Jackson, a real coach.
Yeah. Or Jeff Van Gundy. You're talking about just players specifically?
Yeah, I meant players.
Can we just hire the best head coach? Like, Ewing's the best center that the franchise has ever seen. And I still think the best player that I've ever seen with the Knicks. He's not the best head coach. He may want the job. I'm not opposed to, you know, years ago maybe giving him an opportunity.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Now when they were really down.
Yeah, now's not the time to be together. Messing around with this.
I'm with you.
Hey, the Knicks are trying to win a championship for the first time in 50 years. You can't be messing around here. This is not the time to play around with names that we like or nostalgia. Like, you gotta, they have to hire the right head coach, the best head coach, to get them to win the championship. That's the goal here.
Head coach, the big fella, number 33, Patrick Ewing.
Oh, man.
Time out, Patrick.
Come on, man.
I mean, dude. Time out, Patrick.
Time out. Time out, Patrick Ewing. Like, no, you can't do it. Come on. It would be fun, but...
It wouldn't be fun.
Not now.
Yeah, you know why it wouldn't be fun?
Because you're ripping him to shreds.
Exactly. He's not... I just don't think he's ready for this. And same with, like, people say, oh, bring Mattingly, you know, if they ever move on, or even in the pet, bring Donnie back. I don't want to have to criticize Mattingly on that. I would, but I don't want to have to criticize him on that level. There's certain people who are sacred. Pat's one of them.
I'd love to see the Mattingly to the Yankees thing, just for that purpose alone.
No, you don't want to see
that. That'd be busting your child. Hey, BT, how do you use the bullpen there? Donnie, I don't know what he's doing. All right, BT, it's Sal with the Fade. Eric is in Rivervale, New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
BT, Sal, how are you guys?
What's happening, buddy?
Oh, man, the fact that we're having conversations with consideration for Patrick Ewing when the Knicks were two games away from going to the NBA Finals is insane. It's insane. I don't understand this whole thing. I mean, every day that passes, the more and more absurd it gets, the more the madness continues, which is why, I mean, one of the last callers just kind of stole my thunder a little bit. In the PR nightmare that has become the Knicks right now, which is they tried to sell us for days that this was a Leon Rose decision, right? Mm-hmm. And that the players weren't behind Thibodeau anymore, right? And there are certain players that didn't want to play for Thibodeau. That's all nonsense. We all know that this was a Dolan decision. Period. Stop.
I don't know. I don't know if everybody. I believe that. I don't know if everybody believes that.
My initial feeling was you don't make a move like that unless the owner got impatient, stepped in, just thought it was time for a change. But it's hard to counter factual reporting. And there were a lot. Now, a part of me thinks, okay, well, some of this is coming from the Garden, clearly, and they're trying their PR spin the way that they do it. But it was a lot of people, then people that I trust saying the same thing. So I don't know. I'm torn on it. I don't believe that this is a spot where Dolan just went rogue and said, screw what everybody thinks, I'm firing this guy. I think he may have headed the charge, and Leon Rose went along with it, I don't know, reluctantly or not. But I don't think this is the way that it was years ago with, say, Donnie Walsh and Dolan.
Well, but Sal, if Leon Rose, let's say Leon wasn't strong-armed as much as maybe I think that he was. Think, operative word think, because I don't know. It just reeks of a power move by the owner.
Well, at least pushed him in that direction.
Yeah.
At the very least.
And let's say, like, it wasn't overbearing, but it was strong enough where Leon Rose knew, all right, he's serious about this. Did he at least push back and say, all right, boss, I got you, but we need to devise a plan? Because if it was the way you think it could have gone, I think Leon Rose is too smart not to have a better plan in place. There's still no plan. Right. They're throwing darts.
I can't
argue
that.
Calling three franchises.
I can't argue that.
Three!
I think the argument for Rose saying that this was a Rose decision would have had to have resulted in either hiring Johnny Bryant basically immediately or not reaching out to endless other coaches just focusing on the Knicks have requested permission for the Mavericks and Jason Kidd and then landing him.
That's what I'm saying.
So already, my matter of fact, I think I said this yesterday. If not, what's today? Wednesday? Maybe on Monday. But my whole thing was, hey, it still could be Leon Rose if it were Jason Kidd. That could then like put the whole piece together. But now, even if it isn't Jason Kidd, it's not, because once the reports start coming out about they reached out to Finch and were denied, to the T-Wolves, and talked to Finch and were denied.
And Udoka. The Rockets preemptively shut that down.
Right, which is why I still could let that one go, because it wasn't reported that the Knicks definitively reached out.
That's true.
There was interest, whatever. The Rockets shut that down before the Knicks could officially request permission. But the report last night from Francesa, and then others I think followed suit, was that they requested permission for Chris Finch and were denied. So then it can't be about Jason Kidd.
Bingo.
It can't be about Johnny Bryant.
Bingo.
It's about multiple guys here.
Which is why I think it's about Dolan.
Hard to dispute that at this point. And if that's the case, then we've got
buckle up
a major problem. Greg is calling from Mayapack. What's up, Greg?
Thanks for taking the call, guys.
Okay, Greg. You got it, buddy.
I waited patiently for a week to see what the Knicks were going to do. And I realized that Dolan was piping in circus music during that evaluation music from Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey, because this is ridiculous. He knee-jerk reacted to the meeting with the players and fired the guy without any. He didn't remember one very important fact that went on for years. Nobody worth a damn wants to work for Dolan. Let's be honest about this. Dolan isn't exactly number one on the list of people that who are worth anything want to work for. So now he fires the guy, thinking, oh, well, we had a good team here. Let me go get a big-time coach. Oh, he's this. You know when this debacle really, really, really started? The beginning of it was last year that we couldn't keep that team together. But that's neither here nor there.
Well, no, that's not fair, though, Greg. They could not keep Hartenstein.
I know. But, guys, me and you talked about this before they fired Tibbs.
Yep.
We talked about it. We said, okay, if you're going to fire him, make sure you got a good plan.
Right.
And what did they do? They fired the guy without any plan whatsoever.
By the way,
how do you operate like that?
You shouldn't. And thanks for the call, Greg. I could respect if Dolan said, I want a big name, no doubt about it, head coach.
Yeah, me too.
The problem is they're not available. Like, you can't just say, I want, and not have the guy realistically available.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason why I think when we say, okay, well, if this is truly Dolan, and I think there are a lot of signs that would lead that way, however it went, whether he was stiff arm, strong arm, flat out just said this has to happen, or just nudged, whatever. If this is Dolan, the reason why it's a big problem is because you know what the next step would be.
Oh, I know.
In the cracking of the foundation.
Leon Rose says, peace out.
Bingo.
I don't need this nonsense.
Bingo.
And World Wide West right behind them.
Bingo.
Yep.
And when that happens,
it's over. Now we're back to being dead. We can't have that happen.
You nailed it. That's exactly right.
Well, that can't
That's
happen.
That's why this is the first crack in the foundation. And if it truly is Dolan, you just nailed it. We will know one way or another whether it's a year, 2 years, whatever, when it comes out of nowhere, and it's like Leon Rose has stepped away from the Knicks. And then when that happens, the party's over.
Buckle up. I'm just going to keep saying that. Buckle up.
I mean, that's
it gets bumpy with this team.
That's the fear. Alessandro's calling from Sycamore Park. What's up, Alessandro?
Hi, I have family in town from Italy on the end of the city, but Rafaela and Edda, but I want to talk about the Knicks, and it's a disaster. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Was Tibbs, the late coming of Pat Riley? No, but there's no plan. You know, Jason Kidd, we don't have him. I mean, they don't get Malone. I mean, I don't want a first-time head coach. I mean, what are your thoughts on Malone? I haven't heard much about him.
Well, he said family coming in from Italy. Is that what you said?
I think so, yeah.
There you go. Go out and spend a lot of money in the city. Have fun with that. Hopefully they have some money in their pockets. Listen, first-time head coach, it sounds scary, but there are instances where it's worked. I mean, the Celtics won a championship with Masula, and he wasn't thought to be ready because Udoka was whacked in that situation. He stepped in. You know, I mean, when Don Nelson was who was trying to run the offense, which I didn't disagree with at the time, actually, because I thought Pat was eroding a bit, but he was forward-thinking, trying to run the offense through Anthony Mason. Pat's like, I'm not having it. He got fired.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Hired Van Gundy elevated. We didn't really think Van Gundy was necessarily. I remember looking at him like, this guy's going to be the coach of the Knicks. He was pretty damn good. See, and even Pat Riley, when he took over for Westhead, And made it showtime. I mean, going back in the day with the Lakers, and he won a bunch of championships. So I don't put a ceiling on somebody that I haven't seen coach yet. I think that that's unfair. I'm less worried about that, and I'm just fixated on the fact that they are spinning their wheels. And I think even more disconcerting is that we don't even know right now, to the point before, if Leon Rose and James Dolan right now are operating in sync. We don't even know if we're, like, Dolan may have flexed and Leon eventually acquiesces and they get on the same page, or Dolan flexed and Rose is like, this is nonsense, and there, who knows what's going on behind the scenes.
Or it really could have been just Leon Rose making
that's a possibility. I leave that open. Yeah, I'm trying to be fair to everybody.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel that way, but I'll be fair.
Hey, well, by the way, you bring up Mazzulla. Why don't the Knicks just reach out to the Celtics and see if he's available? Why not ask permission to talk to Mazzulla? Or Kenny Atkinson, go to Cleveland, who had a great year.
That's the guy who should have the job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's stopping him? You want everybody else who's employed. Hey, wait till Carlisle and the Pacers hopefully lose in the finals. You could ask Carlisle. Ask for Mazzulla. I mean, that's what the Knicks want, right? They want to swing big. Ask for Spoelstra. You mentioned him. You know, that was another idea,
I said that months
too.
Ago, Spoelstra,
well,
yeah.
Well, maybe there was some thought that, you know, now, how realistic was it? Who knows? But at least it would be like, hey, things are going sideways there in Miami.
He got divorced. Yeah, maybe he's looking to leave. I don't know. I mean, maybe you never know. Yeah. I'd still make the call. Him, I would make the call for.
Oh, I mean, they're calling everybody else. Why not? Aaron is calling from Toms River, New Jersey. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, BK and Sal. Thanks for having me on.
What's up, Aaron?
You got it, buddy.
I'm in no way defending the Knicks right now. Mm-hmm. I'm a tip supporter, so I'm with Sal on that. But I'm a little bit surprised at you, BT, only because you have been down. I'm not going to say you have been hating on Tibbs, but you have been down on him for a long time.
Yes.
And the Knicks have been, I believe, and I think there was a report, by the way, about in if they wouldn't have gotten out of the Detroit series quick, yep. he would have been fired or something
well,
like that.
They were, I think Ian Begley had that, like, mm-hmm. not that he would have been fired, but that just win the series to make sure you're back. But keep right. going. Yeah, that was out there a little
right.
bit.
No, but I think the Knicks have been down on Tibbs for a very long time.
I agree.
And they were not going to have him this year. Okay. And I don't think they... I'm not saying it's a good plan
yep.
to fire Tibbs and have no backup, but they believe that Tibbs was not the guy.
No, I agree, but Aaron, hold on. You said that you were down on me a little bit. I don't understand the disconnect.
I'm just saying because the Knicks are sort of on your page. They have been down. Now, I'm not saying you would have fired Tibbs.
No, I would have. I said that. I would have. No, but here, Aaron, here's the difference, that it's a distinct difference. And thanks for the call, buddy. Fair question. You can have two very separate thoughts. Tom Thibodeau reached his apex. I would have moved on. I believe the Knicks did the right thing. I support them. And now I get to, okay, what's next? And nobody knows what the hell is next, which is why you're getting the reaction that you're getting from me today.
Right. Which makes you think that they didn't know why they fired Tibbs in the first place. It could, if you're speculating about Dolan, just, you know, maybe...
Emotional, well, impulsive, yeah, being player reactions, right. exit interviews. Yeah. I also think that they were down on the... And not just because of the Pacers series, like the usage of younger players.
Yeah, well, you know,
I think there's a lot of things.
There are basketball reasons you can bring up. Now, and I could still say, well, that's great, but who's better than he is? Like, every coach has some. You're going to be able to pick apart. I don't care if it's a manager, football coach, basketball coach. We could always nitpick and say, this guy should have done that better. This guy could do this better. There's always going to be that. To me, the problem was I know what Tibbs did because of his proven track record, not just here, but even if you just focus on here, he did something that how many guys before him were unable to do for a variety of reasons?
Quick guess, 7 or 8 at least, right?
He built the foundation, and this is before Brunson. It's not Tom Thibodeau is not a product of the superstar player.
Mm-hmm.
He made Julius Randle into a star player. He made Jalen Brunson into a star player. He took the Knicks, who were expected to win, 17, 15, whatever, 20 games that first year, to the 4 seed and the postseason by building a foundation, playing hard defense, playing tough with no talent on that roster. Go look at that roster. Reggie Bullock was their second best player. Reggie Bullock. And then from there,
maybe
they grew.
Yeah, really.
Then from there, they brought in more talent and grew. So you could say, okay, well, now that he took him to as far as he could take him, which has been your argument. You just don't believe he's a championship head coach. He didn't have a great series against Indiana. Even I would admit he did not have a great series against Indiana. Not game one to me, more game two, keeping Cat on the bench. So, and then using his bench a little bit more where he didn't use it before. Whatever, we can nitpick that. But who's better? And I didn't have the answer. You didn't have an answer necessarily.
I just said Malone or try to trade for Spoelstra. Okay. That's what I was saying months ago.
And even worse, they don't have
the answer. Well,
that's
all that matters. They don't have the answer. You know, I've thought about this too, and I've gone back and forth. I'm like, right now, is this a tough job or is this an easy job? And I battle myself because the tough work is over. Building an infrastructure of culture and accountability. That's what Tom Thibodeau did for whomever takes over this job. Like, seeds planted, winning ways, different culture, accountability. That's good. So that part makes it an easy job. What makes it a tough job is that if you don't get to the NBA Finals, you failed.
Yeah.
So is it more easy or a tough job?
Yeah, I would think more difficult because it's very, very hard, even for a good head coach with a good roster and a good team, to win a championship. It's been even harder for the Knicks than most. I mean, you're talking about 50 years here. BT, and Tibbs was 6 games from that, 6 wins from that, 2 games from getting the NBA Finals, six wins from winning an NBA title. And you want to go from where he got them to winning it all. That's just a 6-game disparity. Hard to do that with somebody that's going to come in here, and especially when you talk about a first-time head coach. I have a little baseball note for you, BT. Be curious to get your thoughts on this.
Okay.
So the Athletic ran an anonymous MLB player poll asking pitchers who would be the hitter that they would least like to face in Game 7 of the World Series.
Mm-hmm. I think Soto probably won the poll.
That would be correct.
Let's just make sure he gets back there.
That would be correct.
He already got there with us.
So Juan Soto was...
I love how you find
that. Yeah, it just came across my feed by accident. Juan Soto was named as the hitter pitchers would least like to face in Game 7 of the World Series. There's four quotes that they have. I'm not going to read them all because some of them are long. Talk about his discipline, his ability to have, you know, power to all fields, all those things. One player, quote, it's ridiculous. If there's a moment where he can turn it on, he's just able to do it. It's crazy. Another, he has amazing control of the strike zone. You know, he's probably not going to chase. He's also insane power to all fields. He's such a tough out.
I agree.
Juan Soto.
I mean, did you need the poll for validation? You got him.
Well, I mean,
he started to look like Juan Soto.
I mean, it's one thing if I say it or you say it. Another thing to hear pitchers say they don't want any part.
How fast was my answer? Fast. I knew that that would be the answer, and I have not seen that. Did they give you the other, like, second, third, and fourth? But just out of curiosity.
No.
And I'm going to be Judge because Judge hasn't done it.
They might have in the article. It still has to be Judge. I know he hasn't done it, but still.
I don't know. I mean, they didn't have Judge one.
You know, and I'm thinking last night to myself, why do these idiots still pitch to Judge when Judge hits a two-run home in the first inning?
He's the best.
And then they go and get him the next at bat. You know, he's swinging at pitches, breaking balls in the strikes, the strike zone. Yep. And then I was also thinking it further. Here's the reason why you do pitch to him, I guess, is that he's going to fail.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Six of the 10 times. It sounds ridiculous saying that. Yeah, right? Yeah. But he's a 400 hitter. He's going to fail six of the 10 times. Mm-hmm. So I guess you take your chances. But still, I would not do that. Anyway, I don't have the full article. What I have is SNY Mets Twitter tweeted this out. So they picked from that article in The Athletic saying that Soto was number one. I'd be curious to see who is two and three.
I think it's fair. Honestly, I think it's fair. I mean, if you were to say, maybe not right now, he's getting a little bit older, although I'd probably still vote for him. Like if you asked NBA players two, three, 4 years ago, you know, clock ticking down, one jump shot at the horn, everybody's saying Steph. Even though Steph had some NBA finals where he wasn't amazing, Iguodala won the first MVP. Mm-hmm. But there's just certain things that strike me very quickly that seems like a pretty easy answer. And watching Soto's process and watching him in the World Series, not to mention the Guardians, et cetera, not to mention the Nationals against the Guardians, the Nationals as a kid, to me, that's the only answer right now.
Yeah,
it really is.
Those are the reasons why. Because you and I have had the debate, you know, I love him as a player, but you could say, well, define player. He's not around and all that stuff. I have no issues with him on the bases. I have no issues with him in the outfield. And the reason why I love him more than anybody, while also acknowledging like he's not as well-rounded as, say, Aaron Judge or whatever, pick a player. Judge happens to be the best player in the world that we've ever seen. But still, Soto would be the one guy that I want on my team more than anybody, including Judge, because of exactly that. If there's one at-bat in the postseason, doesn't have to be Game 7, could be Game 2, could be Game 3, I want Soto up. And what he's been able to do now with Lindor and with Alonso, hey, I think the Mets are, and they're dangerous. I'm getting some 86 vibes.
All right, well, okay, I saw that tweet last, the 86 vibes? Yeah, 86?
86.
You were 5 years old when they were in 86.
I watched you to remember quite a bit, and then they show all those highlights, and it just, that's, like, I felt last night, all right, no biggie, to use Lugie's word, no biggie, they're down 4-2. You just felt like they're going to come back, and then it gets to the point where the big bats come up, Marte works a great at-bat, Soto comes through, Alonso yet again, it's like clockwork.
No, listen.
The pitching as well.
Yeah, the pitching was phenomenal. We talked about that. Matter of fact, I was going to send you the screenshot. I said I'd just bring it up at some point on the air. I said earlier during the Yankee ticket giveaway where the stat that I came across for the Yankees have the highest OPS in all the baseball, and the Mets have the best team ERA in all the baseball.
Unbelievable.
Think about that. I mean, our two teams, one hits the hell out of it. Oh, yeah, by the way, pitches pretty well in addition to that. The other team has the best ERA, and oh, yeah, hits a lot, too. I mean, we are lucky right now with both of these teams.
And think about this. Coming into the year, it was supposed to be the opposite.
Yeah.
The Yankees were supposed to be the lights-out pitching team. The Mets were supposed to be the better offensive
team. But that's why I was much more okay, even though I wanted them. I'm never going to front on that. But that's why once Soto left, I'm like, okay, this could make them more circular. And you look, I mean, I remember looking last year, like OPS 620, 590, you know, 609. You look, and I know it's still early. Things could change a little bit, but they could also change more favorably. Although I don't think Judge could hit 400. Other guys could keep, Wells could get red hot.
Yeah.
Opie's starting to get hot. Bellinger's been hot. Those OPSs are pretty damn good across. Even Wells now is up to like 790.
Bottom line, and I saw something with him with projected numbers, was like 30 and 100. The only catchers that did
really?
That. Yeah.
100 RBIs?
I'm pretty sure it was Jack Curry.
That seems high. Well, Jack's usually money,
I'm pretty sure it was him. 30? I saw it last night.
What's he got, 12 now, Sal? How many home runs? 12? Was that 12 or 13?
I think 13, but I'm not 100% sure on that. Just get me to 17, baby. That's over 18, actually. I know.
Oh, I found all my over-unders, by the way. We have to do that in the next couple days here.
Here we go. It was Jack Curry last night. Wells is on pace for 27 homers and 102 RBI.
27 and 102. I mean, I told you 2 years ago, I loved him. Yeah, I told you that.
I know. I was shocked you didn't take that over-under off the board. Wells on, is Jack Curry of Yes on his social media. On pace for 27 homers, 102 RBIs. The only Yankee catchers to ever amass those numbers in a season.
Well, maybe Elston Howard. Are we going back Yogi? Or are we going?
There were two.
Okay. Let's see. Obviously, Posada, Munson. Hang on a second. I don't think Munson had that many RBIs. I could be wrong. I don't think it's Munson, is it?
Now, wait. The only Yankee catchers to ever amass those numbers in a season were Berra, who did it four times.
Yogi? Not Elston Howard?
And Dickey.
Oh, okay. Bill Dickey.
Who did it twice. Posada had 30 and 101 in 2003.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, that's, and also Wells hasn't even really had his impact felt yet.
No, he's been chugging along. He hasn't really had a prolonged stretch where he's been raking, so I love the kill, always have.
BT and Sal on the Fan, back to the next calls. Rocky's in Randolph, New Jersey. What's up, Rocky?
Rock.
BT and Sal, my boys, how we doing?
Hi, Rocky.
Rocky.
Hey, I got a little remedy for us with this Knicks over here. We got Surfsides at Snooki's. I told Hop. You down for that, Sally boy?
Yes, I'm in. Let's go.
Okay, let's do it. Now, listen, BT, I love you, man. I'm normally on board with, like, everything you say.
Okay.
But, you know, I tweeted it out as soon as it happened, but I agree with that. Listen, tell me this, though, BT. Here's the thing. Now, I can agree with you schematically that Tibbs wasn't the right guy for the job, okay? Mm-hmm. Offense, stagnant, whatever, okay? Mm-hmm. But let's go back to last year. Last year, with that team, Randall, Dante, our boys, you know, Hartenstein, you were saying that you really felt that the Knicks had a chance to win the title. They could mess around and get to the title.
So, in my opinion,
okay, so what happened? Did Tibbs automatically just forget to coach?
No.
But he brought two new players came in and disturbed the apple cart.
Yeah.
Now, so to me, last point with Leon and Dolan, though, if Leon made this decision, he couldn't have been, because you're saying how powerful of a guy Leon. I agree with that. You think that he's going to sit there and take this criticism and say, hey, listen, I'm done with Tibbs. I don't care. Well, okay, Dolan told me to be done with him. I don't care, Jim. Okay, fine. I'm going to follow what you say. Now that falls on Leon. So if Leon doesn't correct it, it's all him. So I really don't think that Dolan came in heavy-handed. I think that something happened with Tibbs and Leon because of the two new players, and it destroyed everything.
Listen, you could be right. And that's why I'm not saying that I'm right. That's just how it feels right now. All I could do is react to what we know. And then once you, and we don't know a whole lot right now, so it makes it obviously very dangerous as we try to piece things together. And then you just got to, you know, take a little news item here and people you trust there and a text message conversation here and piece it all together and see where we are. That could change violently one way or the other in a week, in a day, in a month. I don't know. I mean, Leon Rose in 2 days could quit. In 2 days, Leon Rose can, you know, execute a trade with Dallas for Jason Kidd. That was his primary move, and now he's loaded again. I really don't know how it's going to go, but right now I'm confused because it doesn't seem like they have a direction.
Best case scenario is Dolan had nothing to do with this decision. Leon Rose had a plan of a few possible candidates, acknowledging that he could be turned down, whether it be Finch, Udoka, or Kidd, but he has a small
circle of targets.
This can't be, you can't be running through, check them off. Check them, like, you can't be going through 15 freaking guys here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a specific job that you need to win an NBA title. It can't just be endless candidates. You have to have an idea of where you're going. Best case is Leon Rose has a small circle of candidates, and he's finding out how he's going to get to whichever ones, just by trying to interview, whatever it may be. Worst case is, this is Dolan.
Mm-hmm. And now he's just kind of running around trying to piece it together. Yeah.
And eventually it's going to get to a point where he doesn't want to do it anymore, meaning Leon Rose, and that sets that. Now, again, we don't know which one it is, but even the best case is not great, in my opinion, because they screwed up by firing Tibbs and not showing a clear direction for the one guy that they would want. Or even if it wanted to, it's more than that already.
I mean, I think there can maybe be something in between those two options, maybe. But
fair enough.
I think you pretty much nailed it. Yeah. I mean, it's only a couple things, and right now none of them seem really good.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On The Fan.
All right, here we go. Three random questions as we do every Wednesday at 11:40. Number one, being that we're still talking Knicks, bigger Knicks fan, Ben Stiller or Timothy Chalamet?
Honestly, you probably won't like this answer. I think they're both really good Knicks fans. I do. I think they're. How do I possibly judge the emotional investment? I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's easy to say, well, Ben's got a ton of money. Ben's got great seats. Chalamet's got a ton of money. He's got good seats. I just think that they're both massive Knicks fans. I really do.
You couldn't pick one over the other?
Well, then I could. I'm not trying to play the middle of the fence here, but I don't know how you distinguish between the two.
Last week when you were out, we happened to have Ben Stiller's second cousin call up.
I heard about this.
Okay. And I asked him, because we've seen the pictures of Timothy Chalamet when he was a kid in Knicks gear.
All nicked up, yep.
I haven't seen any about from Ben Stiller. And I asked his second cousin, because he said he used to babysit him when it was Benjamin.
Mm.
And I said, okay, well, and they used to celebrate birthdays together. So I said, okay, well, you have any evidence whatsoever that Ben was a Knicks, like you would think a young kid, whatever, Knicks jersey, Knicks something, he was couldn't come up with any. Now, it doesn't mean that he wasn't, but his second cousin who used to babysit.
Are they estranged? I mean, do they still speak? I get the sense this guy's got an axe to grind with his cousin.
He said he's tried DMing him multiple times.
So he's getting stiffed by the guy with millions upon millions, and he's a little axe to bear.
Which I told him, by the way, I hate to break the news to you, but I'm siding with Stiller on this one. You're a second cousin. There are some first cousins that I cut off. So imagine getting to Ben Stiller's level.
And
second cousin looking to get a hand-me-out to go sit courtside.
You're not coming to the communion.
I'd go Chalamet. I think Chalamet is a diehard. Now, I'm not knocking Ben Stiller. I just think if I had to pick one, I think Timothy Chalamet is a proven, diehard, lifelong, passionate New York Knicks fan. And I also don't think he's above criticizing the team, where Benji is not somebody that would criticize. Oh, we love Tom Thibodeau. Thank you for all you've done. Dude, you're not an employee of the Garden.
Like, I hear you.
You can criticize the move if you like Tibbs. It's okay to say, I think we made a mistake.
That you beat me to that part. Because to me, I mean, Ben's always kissing their ass. And it's too much. It's just too much.
Come on.
So, but I will defend him a little bit in this regard with the evidence here. So Chalamet's how old?
Yeah, he's a lot 20 younger, something? Right? Yeah, probably.
How old's Ben Stiller?
Yeah.
57? Right. I'm just 58, yeah. 60? I don't know, something like that. So did they have cameras? Like they did, you know, when Ben was true. five, six years old, then his cousin that he probably hates was around.
All right, let me ask
were
you
there cameras?
Way. In the 90s, when you remember watching the Knicks, was Ben Stiller ever front and center?
Like, no, I remember, but I don't think, but that doesn't mean he wasn't in the top. Woody Allen was always
there. Tim Robbins was there.
But you got to understand, those guys were at the height of their fame. I used to see Woody all the time. I think Tim Robbins a little bit less, but certainly Woody was always there.
Yeah.
And I, you know, just because I don't remember maybe seeing Ben in the 90s, he wasn't big enough
yet. Yeah, maybe. Fair enough. Okay.
You know, I mean, cut him a little slack, but I do think he's a complete kiss-ass with the team. I absolutely do.
All right, number two. Acceptable to not shower after going in the pool. Is it acceptable to not shower after going in the pool?
Sure. I mean, before you go to bed?
No, before you go to work. Or bed, either way, but this one was as it pertains specifically to work. There was somebody here that...
Was it Evan with his bird baths?
No, there was somebody here that was bragging about going in the pool, a chlorine pool, I might add.
This sounds like a Maresh thing.
That said that he didn't shower because he because he went in the pool.
It's got to be Maresh. Is it Maresh or what? It's got to be Sean. That fits him to a T. All right.
And I was like, I don't think that...
Yeah. I'm a three-shower guy. A day guy.
Multiple showers, yes, you've said
that. I have to take one as soon as I wake up, just to wake up. I have to take one to go to bed. And this started because my wife, even when we were dating, like, she made me take a shower before I got in bed. Now I'm kind of used to it. And the between back and either working out or mostly at the fields, yeah. I just got to... Whatever. So I take... I'm a shower guy. Hmm. I mean...
You must go through soap quite a bit, huh?
I got the little squirty stuff. I got the Irish Spring. Yeah, I got the body. I got also... I steal my wife's. I just take whatever's in there. I just start squirting away.
Right.
No, I think that... not the best look for Sean, but it's not the worst. In the middle of the road.
You can't go in a chlorine pool and come to work. You got to shower.
Did he put the odor on?
I mean, I'm sure he did that. Well, I shouldn't say I'm so sure, but I feel like any pool that I go in, when I come out, now when I'm a young kid, it's a little different.
For sure.
But as an adult, I just don't feel clean
coming
out of any pool, especially chlorine.
Especially Maresh's pool. No, what does chlorine do? Chlorine kills germs, right?
So
what else would the purpose be?
Yeah, but it also smells, has a weird smell to it.
And you got to
Where
are you on this one, Hop? You got to shower after the pool? Or
I mean, if I was Maresh, I'd shower. If I was a normal person, I probably wouldn't.
Now, it's not to pick on Maresh being some smelly animal. He's
not at all.
I'm just saying that it's, you go in the pool. I feel like you need a shower afterward, especially if you're going to work.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what time of day it was.
I don't even like sitting on my couch in the house after I shower, after I go in the pool. I feel pool dirty,
If I've showered already in the morning and then I go into the pool, I have to go to work right after, I might skip a shower.
All right,
Pop, do you have a pool? You don't have one, do you?
No, but I have plenty around the area.
No, I guess so.
You're a shower skipper as well. All right, last one for you. What is Billy Ripken best known for?
The expletive that was on the knob of his baseball bat in one of the cards.
Hoff, do you have an answer to this one?
I was going to say the same thing.
Okay. I agree.
Okay.
Now, you could have answered...
He played. He's Cal's brother.
Yeah, bingo. Cal Ripken's
he's
brother.
He's an analyst, by the way, still on MLB Network. I like him on TV, yeah. A couple things.
To me, there are two answers. It's either, he's Cal Ripken's brother. Or the answer that I would have chosen, that you chose, that Hoff chose... He's known for the 1989 Fleer card that had the expletive in an error card on the knob of the bat.
It was the F word, right?
Yeah.
Bleep you?
Bleep face.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So I happened to, now this is my wheelhouse. I'll never forget. My father took me to the store. We bought that card. It was $30. I still have that exact card, the one that he bought me to this day.
Well, what's it worth now?
Probably nothing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it has to be in good condition. There's like a whole nother level.
I got you.
And then I started opening older cards. I was a 10-year-old kid in 89, so like that's my thing. And even recent years, we'd be getting into the card opening, whatever. And then I had pulled some of those. Now, there are different versions of them. Some are, it's blacked out.
Okay.
But whatever. So when you get the one that has the full expletive, it's exciting. And I've been into trying to get my favorite cards signed.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to know.
Don't turn it to Peter Schwartz, please.
No. I'm not like that at all.
Okay.
And I'm not above like paying for whatever. It's not a big deal. But you saw me like there was an Al Leiter famous card, error card when I was younger. 89 tops, as a matter of fact.
Uh-huh.
And when we were out there at MLB.com, I was like, hey, do you mind signing this?
Yeah.
No big deal. You referenced the card. Okay. Hey, Doc has signed some cards for me that I like, whatever. I'm not nuts with it, but there were certain ones. And I happen to know somebody who knows somebody who knows Billy. And okay. I was like, all right, I can do this on my own, but they offered to take care of it. No problem. Don't worry about it. Got the cards to him. He wouldn't sign them.
He wouldn't sign them?
He would not sign. Even if it won, whatever, wouldn't matter. I would have paid. Like, I'm not even trying to get anything for free.
Yeah.
They're also not worth anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, max, if you have a mint one, maybe $500. I don't even know. Like, maybe.
Yeah.
Now, which is a lot, but, like, he wouldn't sign it. And they knew, like, not that I'm anybody, but, like, from somebody, you know, like a coworker, a friend of a friend, he would not sign the card. And I went back and said, not a big deal. I don't really care. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I'll rip the cards up and throw it. I really don't care that. Like, I don't care.
He went from trying to get it signed to throw it in the garbage.
Yeah, like, I don't care that much. I just thought it would be cool. Like, I'm not going to go out of my way.
Sure. I mean, it's not Cal. It's Billy.
Bingo. You just nailed it. If it were Cal, I wouldn't even ask. I'm not asking Cal Ripken to sign. I know he'd say no, or I got to pay whatever it is. It's Billy Ripken. And my whole thing was like, you're only, I was explaining to the person who didn't really know about it. I was like, you don't understand. Like, this card is the only reason why he's even relevant. And yet, I guess he doesn't want to sign the card. How about
maybe
that?
Maybe he is embarrassed by it, just to be fair to Billy.
Come on.
I don't think so, but I'm trying to be a little fair.
It's also, you know, 30, 40 years ago, for goodness sake.
We're also creating a lot of enemies here. We got Stiller on the hit list all of a sudden. We got Billy on
taking
the...
Taking him out.
Take it easy, buddy. Easy there, Pitbull. Yeah. I think that maybe he found religion and, you know, he's... I mean, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't
card.
Like you.
I don't think he knew. I don't know if he knew it was... maybe. Maybe. I don't know if he knew it was like me specifically.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just more like, you know, like if I brought something to Boomer or somebody, a friend was like, hey, Boomer, you mind signing this for a friend or Tiki?
Boomer take care of it. Done
they
deal.
Do it in 2 seconds.
That's why Boomer's the man.
And
we
that's
Boomer
size and the guy won an MVP. Tiki Barber, arguably a Hall of Famer.
Tiki signs everything.
2 seconds.
Great with that stuff.
Billy Ripken.
Who needs it?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.